All right, we are plugged in and ready to go. And it's Wednesday, the 25th of July, 2018. Already unbelievable. You're listening to the Kres Files podcast with Adam. And as usual, all goes up on my website, kresfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z. So much to go through up there, updating daily, lots of podcasts and great news links, articles, original articles, heaps of content. And podcasts also go over to iTunes and Facebook, Twitter, and the YouTube channel, The Kres Files. So check those out. I'm also doing extra podcasts for the YouTube channel only. So I'll be doing some more of those if people want to have a look. Please check out our other website as well, opensourcetruth.com. Plenty going up there. If any followers out there want to write an article, I can publish them. So you can send your article to thekresfiles@mail.com. Whatever you want, whatever you're passionate about, make sure it's correct and ready to go, and I'll publish it up there. And please comment on the stories. Your comments are fantastic, and they're displayed for the public to see as well. So we are ready to rumble tonight with my guest. Great to have her here. Fantastic. Lots to go through. Elizabeth Hart. I haven't spoken to you before, Elizabeth, so I'll bring you in now. How are you going?
Great. Thank you, Adam. Thanks for having me here on your show.
Fantastic. And why don't we jump right into this? As I haven't had you on before, you're doing some incredible work lately in regards to the no jab, no play policies and the mad vaccination push in Australia, yes. Which is out of control. Now I'm very similar to you. I'm just doing alternative media, and I want to do what's right and what's just, and I want to call out these things as I see it. So it's quite remarkable following No Jab, which is what we're going to sort of center around tonight. But I've followed it since it came in around 2013, if I'm correct, pushed in by
2016, I think. It all came in 2016.
It started with the News Corp media around 2013. I know when Tony Abbott was in and the Claire Harvey articles, you know, that came out that anti-vaxxers are baby killers. And it really it really built up to the Baby Riley whooping cough incident on death, and then was, sort of went from the rear. And I followed it. I've followed it and kept all the News Corp articles, all of this stuff, and done so many podcasts and had so many people on. And so over the years, and tried to piece everything together. But what you're doing is very, very unique and very important in my book. And that's why I wanted to go over this with you, because you're sort of dot connecting here and piecing together all little bits and pieces of the puzzle for all the folks out there who may be confused or wanting to know more or follow this this mad push to vaccinate all our children in this country. Because the world's looking in, and you know, it's pretty incredible what's happening. And I will say that I want to be part of the solution, as I know you would as well. And I want to look back in the future and look back on this and say that we made a positive change here, and we stopped this, or we changed some of these laws, and we made a positive turnaround, because this affects all of us. It's about our health and our freedom of choice in this country. It's a human rights issue, and it involves our coming generations and our children. And I think you're putting this together, and you're showing the hypocrisy here and the complete double standards in regards to the media and what the government are doing in this push. And I think that's why it's so important. And you recently did the 2018 Sydney Vaccination Conference. This was the censorship of the vaccination debate in Australia, and there hasn't been a debate. I've followed it for years, and there's been no debate by any of these TV channels or any one of these people involved. It's quite ridiculous, actually. So we have to go our own way and do what we're doing now and get the information out. But how? Tell us a bit about you, and then lead into how you got involved in this issue, and then we'll kind of go through what you went through at the 2018 vaccination conference.
Okay, thanks, Adam. Well, I actually started on this in 2008, and I came in via pet vaccination. We had two dogs, and I would regularly go to the vet and have them vaccinated. Mm. Didn't even think about it, just did as I was told. And then one of the dogs got very ill after a vaccination, and they put her down, and which shocked me greatly. And I started looking into vaccination, and I found out it was highly controversial. And particularly it had been coming out of America that animals were getting over vaccinated, that they were getting, that vets were pushing us to have them vaccinated every year, and that this wasn't actually necessary, particularly for the live vaccines for parvovirus, adenovirus, and distemper, that these were likely to provide lifelong immunity when they had them as puppies. So this started me investigating. I campaigned with the Australian Veterinary Association and the Australian Pesticides and Veterinary Medicines Authority about this over-vaccination, and met with them in Canberra. And this started off a look at pet vaccination, and it was reformed into having it every 3 years, which is still not necessary either for the live vaccines. But Choice took it up. We got a lot of media across the media. We got The Age, we got even, you know, Murdoch newspapers. They all took it up. This was back in 2010 we started getting this publicity. And that started me looking at children's vaccination, because in pet vaccination, experts were saying we need to decrease vaccination to reduce the risk of adverse reaction. And they were also saying that adverse reactions were grossly underreported. And compare that to human vaccination. Human vaccination is going through the roof. You know, what's going on here? We didn't get these sort of vaccinations when we were young. We got a few, and that was it. It wasn't a big deal. We didn't keep hearing about it in the newspapers all the time. Mm. But in recent years, something's changed. And what's changed is, I think, the pharmaceutical industry have seen this as a new market, that vaccinating people for all sorts of diseases. And we're not being consulted about this. This is the vaccine industry running with this, and that's what we've got to start looking at. That we've got to start looking at these experts as well. Who are they? Who's funding them? There's quite a lot of things to investigate here, and the media is not helping us at all by just keeping one side of the story out in the media.
Yeah, it really changed, didn't it? I've never seen anything like it in this country.
It's unbelievable what's happening, particularly with the Murdoch press. Hardly a day goes by that there's an article about vaccination. It's constant. And this talk about anti-vaxxers, it's rabid. You know, medical products, we should be able to talk about medical products. But vaccines have got this special status. They're up on some sort of pedestal. People don't seem to realize that these are products. And the vaccine industry can see these things now as being something that everybody has to have for all sorts of ailments. And what's really becoming apparent to me is that we're getting more vaccines being pushed for things that are very rare. And the current thing is meningococcal B. If you're following this, and you'll see incredible stories in the paper, fear-mongering stories. No doubt, if a person has meningococcal B and it's the invasive meningococcal B, that would be a terrible disease to get. But the thing is, it's very rare. And what is really interesting is that meningococcal B can be in people without affecting them very badly. You know, they don't even know they've got it. It's only in very rare cases that it becomes a serious problem. And that's what's the interesting thing, and that's what should be being investigated. But instead, we've got this product now, which Novartis came up with the product originally, and now GlaxoSmithKline has bought the product, and they're now pushing it. We've got this product for a very rare disease. They're planning to mass vaccinate populations for something that is very rare, and we don't know where we're heading with this. This is what really worries me. I feel like we're on the edge of an abyss with this, because we are now having so many vaccine products. We've got no idea of the long-term consequences. We can see things are going wrong with these products. And you were mentioning, I think previously, there's Baby Riley and Diana McCaffrey. These babies, reported to have died of whooping cough, and people who were they accused of being anti-vaxxers were accused of causing these babies' deaths. But what has become out in recent years is that there's a problem with the pertussis whooping cough vaccine. There's a problem with that vaccine. It's not working. We are now seeing children being given 6 doses of that vaccine. Pregnant women are being, you know, women in every pregnancy are expected to have that vaccine over and over again. People of all ages are being pushed to have that vaccine. This is incredible. And we're expected to take this for granted, as if we should be having vaccines repeatedly like this. There's something wrong here. You know, the idea of a vaccination, you know, have one and you're immune. Well, that sounds like a great idea. But once they start going wrong and they're saying have it over and over again, there's a serious problem. But somebody's benefiting from that, and it's vaccine companies, from repeated shots. It's out of control, and we need to stop and have a look at what's going on.
Yeah, that's right. I think in my local papers, about a year ago, they were pushing, I think, a third booster for pertussis. And I've read this out before. I've got a CDC document, Centers for Disease and Disease Control, Emerging Infectious Diseases. This was a study done in pertussis infection in fully vaccinated children in daycare centers from the CDC website. You can look at the study. I've put it up many times. It says here in conclusions that the vaccine wanes after a short time, meaning it hardly works. And it says here vaccinated adolescents and adults may serve as reservoirs for silent infection and become potential transmitters to unprotected infants.
Crazy, isn't it? From the CDC, crazy.
You know, they're telling you it doesn't work and that you become, you know, a transmitter of it, and they're singling out infants here. And of course, unvaccinated healthy children are getting the blame always here. And I think the media has really become experts at using fear. They're using fear and propaganda as a weapon now to push this hardcore forced vaccination line, and you know, it's really become insane to me and anybody watching it. But I think they're shooting themselves in their own feet, or they're cutting their own throats with this, because I think, you know, I think when you push something so incredibly like this, I mean, you know, you look at Greg Hunt and these health ministers and Jill Hennessy. I mean, you know, they're like pharmaceutical sales reps on steroids. You know, they're just, it's amazing. I think when you push something and you push something onto the public so much, you know, I think people are going to start having to question this, hopefully, and I think they are now.
But who else is behind this, Adam? This is, from my perspective, what I'm seeing here, that this no jab, no pay thing really sprang from the case with Dana McCaffrey, and the anti-vaxxers were blamed for that baby's death, and we had Stop the Australian Vaccination Network was set up in opposition to the Australian Vaccination Network, and it seems since then we have had this polarization occurring, and I think that's what we've got to look back on, see what's happened, to see who's driving this. There's what's going on here. And I think it's really quite serious the way that debate, or as you say, there's written a debate now, but the way things have been censored, the way people have been bullied into silence about this, it's really something that we really have to investigate to see what's happened here. And there's another group, Friends of Science in Medicine, their influence in this as well. It's been a really serious thing about shutting down debate. And I know, because I've been censored. There's a conversation website that's funded by the universities and by government, which publishes articles by academics on vaccination policy, relevant to vaccination policy. And that was all happening before No Jab, No Pay came in. And people who would go on those articles, people like me, and try and make comments, and I made quite a lot of comments, people would come out of the woodwork who seemed to be tied up with these groups, Stop the Australian Vaccination Network and Friends of Science in Medicine. They would come out and mob people, and you wanted to have a serious conversation about particular vaccine products, you know, talk about the nuances of these issues, but they would not accept any discussion at all on vaccine products. They just simply wanted to shut it down, and eventually I was banned from commenting on the conversation. That this is a liberal democracy, you know, to ban people from talking about things that are relevant to taxpayer-funded vaccination policy, I think it's a very serious matter.
It is. It's really incredible, and especially when you've got health ministers up on national television saying there's no risks in vaccinating your children. You know, that's just phenomenal. I mean, Jill Hennessy said they went around the world people were gobsmacked, and we have in Samoa, you know, seizing MMR vaccines after toddlers dying. We have outrage in China over thousands of faulty vaccines for children. We have deaths all over the place. We have adverse reaction. We've got autism going through the roof, especially in Australia. You know, it's unbelievable. There's clearly a problem here, and it's not being addressed. And you know, I can't watch a lot of these shows that you mention, you know, like The Project, and there's so many of the morning breakfast shows, and they all seem to be in cahoots together, and you've got Alan Jones up there with Murdoch columnists, and they're calling people anti-vaxxers and hippies and crystal worshippers, and they eat mung beans, and they're insulting people, and there's never any debate, and there's never any common sense coming out of any of their mouths, and they just get up there and insult people and call people anti-vaxxers. But I think this is definitely coming to an end, and I think people want serious answers now, because they can see that vaccine damage is real. And I think we're getting so much information as well from the United States and other countries, from Kennedy and the World Mercury Project and Natural News, and it's just so overwhelming, the amount of information in your face now showing that there are problems with vaccines. They are not safe and effective, like Mr. Greg Hunt says, and this needs to be seriously addressed, because it's our children's lives here. And it's not being taken seriously in this country, and they seem to be still covering it up. And you know, it's incredibly frustrating. And I think I've gone through stages where sometimes I feel like giving up, but I do feel like there's hope for us. I feel like we are making change, and we're getting information out to fence sitters and average families out there who, and I speak to them all the time, I can tell you, and I'm not just saying that. I speak to families. They're not anti-vaxxers. They're not pro-vaxxers. They don't even know much about it. They're just worried for their children.
They
want
to do the best thing for their children.
They want to, and they're worried, and they're scared that something might happen to their child, and they have every damn right to be. And, you know, and I think this is happening because, and I think these people are getting access to the information that we're all putting out, and I think this is what we need to do. And that's why what you're doing is so important, because you're, as I said, you're connecting the dots here. For,
the population, the general population out there has no idea how many vaccines children are getting now.
That's right. That
they are, you know, I've counted up at the moment.
It's insane.
About 48 doses for the average child.
Oh, my God.
Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children are probably getting about 56 doses.
Bet. Yeah.
You know, this is what and for me, my position is not anti-vaccination. What I'm looking at is over-vaccination. I don't claim to be an expert in vaccinations. I am an independent citizen, and I am just saying there's too many vaccines. We need to look at this. You really look at the schedule. You have to say, why are there all these repeat vaccinations happening? Why are there so many vaccines on there for diseases that used to be not very serious, like chickenpox, for example?
Sure.
You know, these things, we're not, as a society, we're not consulted about this. We've got a very small group of academics who have gotten onto these committees, these government committees, and a lot of these academics are actually involved with the vaccine companies. And this small group of people is making decisions which is impacting on all of us, and we're not consulted about it. And this is what the public doesn't realise. They don't realise the conflicts of interest that are just running all the way through this. You know, they think that the TGA is evaluating all this stuff. The TGA is paid by industry to look at these products, and it's looking at industry data. It's a complete shambles, and this is what needs to be exposed. And if we had a decent mainstream media, they should be looking at this. Four Corners should be investigating this.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, the ABC and SBS just run these stories on vaccines, not realizing that these are products. They don't give any critical analysis. They're not looking into the conflicts of interest. It's amazing what the ABC does with promoting these stories and going along with the fear-mongering instead of looking at the detail. And what I want to see happening is stop talking about vaccination, and let's start examining individual vaccine products and the revaccinations, because this is a very lucrative market now for vaccine manufacturers, and we need to scrutinize it.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it, what was insane for me as well when the mad push started, and I say specifically from the News Corp newspapers, the Daily Telegraph and Sunday Telegraph started pushing this no jab campaign, and the Claire Harvey articles, just unbelievable. I tried to get a please explain, and they just blocked me. they don't want to talk to anyone or explain what the hell they're talking about. But coming out with these articles, calling people terrorists, and I've just seen some unbelievable articles that is just, it's crazy that it's allowed to go on and it hasn't been stopped. And but I thought anyone with any common sense would be, you know, if you were outside looking in, you'd be thinking, why is an Australian national newspaper pushing this vaccination issue so, they're being so over the top with this, it was amazing to me that we didn't see enough people asking these questions like you are and putting this information up. They seem to just go along with the fear-mongering and the propaganda. They all got swept up in it, and it was just totally ridiculous to the point of it was so over the top, some of it, that I saw, you know. And they're still, as you said, they're still going on. It's still going on today on all these TV stations and coming out of all this newspaper. It's amazing. It seems like to me, with the government, if I look at Greg Hunt and some of these people, it seems to like a face-off, you know. It's like they're going to face off with the anti-vaxxers all the way to the end. It's that they're pushing this through it's kind of a sad thing to see, you know, because we're not getting any open discussion or debate. We're not getting the public involved, you know, and they're being manipulated with propaganda and fear, and that's not fair on anybody, because, you know.
But we have to insist on accountability. Absolutely. For this. Mm. You know, we've got people being demonized by being labeled anti-vaxxers, and this is how they just marginalize people. You know, these are people who are worried about what they're giving their children. They're entitled to know what vaccines have been given to their children. You know, a lot of people don't realize that when 2 months and 4 months and 6 months, children are getting a combination vaccine. It's one injection, but it has got six doses of vaccine in it.
That's right.
And people don't realize the amount of vaccines now. And we've got to start examining this sort of marketing angle for the pharmaceutical companies, that they're able to put all these different vaccines for diseases in one injection. We've got to find out how much these things cost. I've repeatedly asked how much these things cost, and I've been told it's commercial in confidence. These are products that are on the taxpayer-funded schedule. Taxpayers are paying for them, and the cost, as far as, you know, as I was concerned, what I was told is it was secret. This whole thing is being set up to protect the vaccine industry, and we have these politicians out there pushing these things so strongly. Now, on the other hand, you've got to say, it sounds like a great idea to have a vaccine for a disease, prevent this disease happening, prevent the, you know, hospital costs and all that sort of thing. It sounds like a great idea. But we have to start examining this, because we might be exchanging a disease for something worse in the future. We don't know. There are so many vaccine products now. Things are going wrong with these vaccines, as we've talked about with whooping cough. There are problems with the mumps vaccine as well, that people are getting mumps after being vaccinated with the mumps vaccine. There are just emerging problems. And what we haven't got is independent experts looking at this. The people who are on these committees, who are making these decisions, most of them are associated with pharmaceutical companies. And that's the major problem. The government should really have independent people who aren't conflicted and who aren't ideologically wedded to this. We need people who can be objective, and if they can, you know, accept that there might be problems happening, we've got to deal with it, not cover it up and push it under the carpet. And when we've got things happening with whooping cough, say, have another vaccine. This is ridiculous, because these vaccines, if we're talking about whooping cough, for example, that's an aluminium adjuvanted vaccine. There's aluminium in that vaccine. And to have them over and over again, we have to say that what could be happening there? And there's a very significant issue there with those aluminium adjuvanted vaccines. Back in 2004, a review was published in the Lancet Infectious Diseases journal, which said that it was saying that there was no evidence to show that these aluminium adjuvanted vaccines were a problem, that they were safe. And it recommended no more research in this area. And now this review was based on very questionable data. But since then, it has been used to justify the safety of aluminium adjuvanted vaccines. the National Center for Immunization Research and Surveillance, they cite it as the, you know, the safety of aluminium adjuvant vaccines, and so does the Australian Immunization Handbook. But when you actually read that review, it is very problematic. And so this opens up a whole can of worms on the literature that is backing this. You know, people, again, don't understand. They think, oh, the Lancet Infectious Diseases, British Medical Journal, these you know, highbrow medical journals, they think they're fantastic. These journals are businesses. They make money out of publishing papers. And, you know, we've had Richard Horton say that there are sort of money laundering or sort of way of publishing material which ends up getting used to justify the use of products. And it gets more serious when it's used to justify mandated medical interventions. So we have to look at that. There's a whole lot of things that have to be looked at here, and the journal industry is included. And we also have to look at organizations like Cochrane. Cochrane were set up to, they're supposed to be the evidence-based medicine people. We're supposed to rely on Cochrane to give us systematic reviews, to review this material that's in the literature. But we're finding out that they've got conflicts of interest as well, in that they've accepted funding from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which is very heavily into promoting vaccination. So there are a lot of problems here. And I'm not claiming to be an expert here, but I'm just trying to put stuff out there and say to people, there's a lot of stuff we need to be thinking about, that we cannot trust the system. We cannot trust the journals. We cannot trust doctors now on this. You know, they're the front line and pushing these products. And yet doctors aren't experts in vaccination. They are simply pushing the schedule. And they're in a situation now where they're really coercing people to have these vaccines, and people aren't able to be properly informed and give informed consent. And there are so many being given. And so it just gets back to, we have to be allowed to question this schedule and find out why it has become so bloated. It's just out of sight now how many vaccines children are getting, and we need to be able to talk about it.
Yeah, I know. I think I must have had about four when I was born, and I did have the chicken pox, and I think my brother had the mumps, and we're all fine and healthy, you know. And it's amazing. And my little one had homeoprophylaxis. That's my choice as a parent. I just decided to do that. But I'm a big believer in immunity and clean water, clean food, clean living standards, you know, sanitation, proper, correct nutrition, very clean, lots of fruit and vegetables, this type of stuff, enzymes, you know, amino acids, all of this, keeping the body and the mind healthy, you know, that's never discussed. That's the thing, it's all this mad, over-the-top, comical vaccination push. It's like in some insane comedy movie from these media people and government. But, you know, clean living and clean health and looking after your children, for example, making sure that they have the best start in life and breastfeeding and all of this, having a healthy immune system is never talked about. It's like all of that just gets smashed off the table, and we just got this mad vaccination push with no common sense behind it. It really is insane to me as well. So sometimes I can't believe what I'm seeing, and I see some of these reports in the paper where they'll say, there was a child with measles and they were at a mall, and we don't know where they went, but they were at the mall, and we're telling everybody to be careful. And they're always talking about these so-called measles outbreaks in Australia or pockets, and they're blaming anti-vaxxers, but there's no toxicology reports, there's no evidence as to what happened here or what these people had. It's just all blamed on anti-vaxxers, so it's really quite insane what's going on. But if we go into this conflict of interest, because this is what interests me so much, and I feel like you're kind of the first person, and I maybe I would see you as a sort of independent private investigator in a way. I think you're like me, you know, you're just looking into this and going your own way. And this conflict of interest in regards to the vaccination push and no jab is quite astounding. So why don't we sort of look through this Sydney Vaccination Conference, the censorship of the vaccination debate in Australia. And I will say this for overseas listeners, And of course, in Australia, when I put up this podcast, I'll put up your links, Elizabeth, to your WordPress.com pages, because this goes through what you went through in the conference, and there's graphs and pictures and everything about this policy, which people will want to read as well. So people can click on those and read them. But why don't we sort of go through a bit? We can't go through all of it. We'll just go through a timeline of the most important bits about this conflict of interest that you mentioned at the conference, and you're talking about Rupert Murdoch, who's extremely well known for using his newspapers as a propaganda weapon to better his own wealth and his own practices, absolutely, and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and all of this. Why don't we go through just the important chunks here? I've got it up in front of me because it was absolutely fantastic presentation that you gave at the vaccination conference in Sydney. It went across very well. Brian Martin, I've spoken to a couple of times, fantastic guy, and Meryl Dorey, great speakers up there, and a fantastic conference. Talk about this a little bit.
Well, if we want to talk about the conflicts of interest, the presentation I gave, I talked about Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, about the fact that this is a very powerful organisation, and it really seems to be dominating international vaccination policy now. The World Health Organization seems to be dancing to their tune because they got a lot of money, and they can, and you know, insist on things being done their way, I suppose. That's what it seems to me.
Yeah.
and you know, a lot of people would say, well, this is fantastic, it's great that the Gates are putting all this money into vaccines and what have you. But there are others who will say, is this the way we should be going with health interventions? Are there other things that might be better? To sort of have this idea that there's a vaccination for everything, it's really getting out of hand. And of course, the vaccine industry loves this idea. You know, it means that they've got a product that will be given to everybody, and they're coming up with more and more. And then when they start to fail, they'll say, oh, you'll have to have another one. I mean, they're getting rewarded if the products fail. So it's a really serious thing. And we have to get people to start thinking about that. As far as the Murdochs are concerned, I was really quite shocked when I knew about the Murdoch Children's Research Institute, but when I started looking into it and finding that this institute is actually sponsored by News Corp and Foxtel, and that it is actually involved with funding from organisations like Glaxo, and at the same time the Murdoch newspapers have got this incredibly aggressive push for vaccination and you know, just accusing anybody who asks any questions about it at all, you know, labelling them an anti-vaxxer, and really they're really influencing government policy.
That's right.
Into making the community compliant to a vaccination schedule, which is full of these products.
And so
I think it's pretty stunning.
It's insane.
I think this is really a huge scandal that the Murdoch media has pushed this so strongly in the press, and they brought all the other mainstream media with them.
That's right.
Because we have got no mainstream media now examining this. The ABC, it's appalling what they have done. That they have just won't look into this at all. It's amazing to me. And SBS also is just as bad. But you know, you've got Channel 7, Channel 9. They all come out with the same stuff. This anti-vaxxer tag. It is so, to my mind, so unprofessional, so not looking at a very, very serious medical intervention. We've got governments mandating medical interventions. How serious is that? And the way this has been treated by the mainstream media is absolutely abhorrent, really. You know, it's a very serious thing. And we need to turn this around, because it is so serious what is going on.
Yes, well, yeah. The morning breakfast show, Sunrise, Today. I don't watch them because it makes my blood boil and come out my eyeballs, you know. I can't be in the room when these shows are on.
They're set up in an adversarial way. They're not really genuine about looking into this seriously.
No, of course not.
You know, but, you know, what would the general population do if they've got doctors and professors lined up saying that this is all wonderful and what have you? And as I say, my position here is over vaccination. That's what I'm talking about. You've got these doctors, most people are going to say, well, what do you know? the doctors and professors are the experts. What the public doesn't realise, a lot of these doctors and professors are not experts. In fact, I don't know anybody who is an expert in all of the vaccine products on that schedule and the long-term effects of it, because there are no experts who know that. We're in the middle of a massive experiment here. We have got vaccines just being added, you know, willy-nilly to the schedule. Since No Jab, No Pay has come in, just since January 2016, we've had another DTaP added to the schedule for 18-month-old babies. The meningococcal ACWY has just been added. That's been fast-tracked through. GlaxoSmithKline is determined to get the meningococcal B added to that schedule, and the politicians are all behind GlaxoSmithKline in doing this. We've got pressure for flu vaccinations for children now. It is just going out of sight, and we don't seem to have any level-headed, objective people, so, you know, in the expert category, saying, hang on a minute, this is getting out of hand, we've got to look at this. You know, everybody just seems to be on this bandwagon, and we are not getting an objective look at this. Another organisation that's very influential in talking about this in the media is the Immunisation Coalition, which is funded by industry, GlaxoSmithKline, Pfizer, Sanofi. And we have a whole lot of professors and doctors who are part of that. They come out talking about the vaccines using their university affiliation, you know, professor this or doctor that or what have you. But they've seldom disclosed the fact that they're part of this industry-funded coalition. You know, this is what we've got to expose, this bias that's going on, and that we're not getting told that the industry is really dominating this conversation. And you also have the industry in hand with the Murdochs via that Murdoch Children's Research Institute. Why aren't Fairfax examining this? Why isn't the ABC examining that? What's going on there with the Murdoch media and the Murdoch Children's Research Institute? They should be investigating this, and yet the Murdoch media has just been allowed to dominate this whole subject with this incredible campaign about vaccination. We need some serious examination of this.
That's right. Yeah, and I've said many times, working with Dr. Rima Labo over there in New York, she's been a medical doctor for over 40 years. She's a world-leading expert in vaccination science. And we've had a vaccination debate challenge open for over 3 years and not one taker. She has personally, as a doctor, written letters to all sorts of politicians, newspaper, you know, media people, you know, MPs and in Australia, including Jill Hennessy and many others, and no reply, no answers, nothing. All these kind of institutes you talk about, Robert Boy and all these people, has been going on, no answers whatsoever. None of them will come out and have an open debate or a discussion about any of this, but they continue with this mad push with the vaccination issue. They almost seem hypnotized, some of these people, and I think that obviously these media stooges, because that's what they are, that work on these project shows, and that they're up there with their blonde wigs on, and they some of them look, you know, and they're up there pushing this vaccination agenda onto our children, but they don't know anything about vaccines. They're not offering anything in that would even resemble any kind of truth. They're not offering any information or anything that people can check out. They're just insulting people and pushing this vaccine agenda onto the Australian public. So it really is insane. I think a lot of these media people have sold their souls, and I think, you know, they do what they're told to do, and that's people seem very upset and confused about it. But I think these people in the media, they just they do what they're told to do. They say what they're told to say, although they don't have a job on Monday morning.
Well, I think we have to investigate how the media has been captured like this.
That's
because,
right,
as you say, programs like The Project,
it's
and Charlie
terrible.
Pickering and what have you have been used to promote this. You know, they sort of mock. Again, it's that mocking the anti-vaxxer, marginalising people who might question vaccination. It's been a very successful way that they've done this to shut people up. But we have to start investigating that and examining how that has happened. For example, Rachel Dunlop, who's a member of Friends of Science in Medicine and also administrator with Stop the Australian Vaccination Network, she's been one of these people who's been out there on the project, you know, she has a title of doctor, and people seem to sort of be impressed by these titles, not realizing she's a doctor of what? What is her expertise in vaccination? Sure. And yet she's been paraded on the project, been allowed to pontificate about her views, and she also has been determined to shut down alternative views, and she, you know, calling this false balance. And they've been very successful in doing that. They have called this the false balance, and they want to shut it down. And now we have to fight back and say citizens in our liberal democracy are entitled to question taxpayer-funded vaccination policy, and that people have tried to stop this happening and have deliberately censored it is a very serious matter, and we have to start exposing those people who have done this, because they are affecting the political process in this country. And we have now got the government mandating medical interventions, and we are being set up to have more and more and more of these products. And we have to fight back. You know, it's where's it going to end? With what's going on the schedule, you know, and it's the children who are getting more and more and more of these things, and that their autonomy, haven't got any autonomy as children. These things are done to them as children, and if there are bad effects for the future, they're the ones who are going to have to wear it. You know, we have to stand up for the children now. It's take the HPV vaccination, for example. Children were getting 3 doses of that vaccine. And I have been investigating HPV vaccination. I have been in contact with Diane Harper, who was a researcher for the Cervarix vaccine. I asked her the question, what was the evidence for 3 doses? Why were they given 3 doses? She said they didn't have evidence for 3 doses. They just gave 3 doses. That meant they had no proof that they needed to give 3 doses. That is very serious, that they were giving 3 doses of the vaccine and they didn't actually know that they had to give that many. You know, these are the details that need to be looked into. The HPV vaccination, it creates a very high antibody response. It's unnaturally high. It's much higher than natural infection. This is an interesting question. If people knew about that, would they be keen on the vaccination? But most people aren't informed about that. Most people don't know that the HPV vaccination was rejected by the Pharmaceutical Benefits Advisory Committee back in 2006. They rejected it. And within 24 hours, John Howard overturned that decision. That was in the lead up to the 2007 election. So that was a political decision to interfere with the evaluation process. And as a consequence of that, HPV vaccination was the Gardasil vaccine, was fast-tracked onto our schedule. And this had a domino effect around the world, because when our country put it on the schedule, it started the domino effect going around the world. America did it at the same time, and then all of a sudden, all the other countries started doing it as well. And what happened then? You've got a multi-billion dollar market happening for Merck and CSL and GlaxoSmithKline. This is detail that we have to start looking at. How did these things get on the schedule? It's very, very serious, you know, what's going on.
Absolutely. And amazing. We've got a little bit left. I want to ask you, is it Robert Bowie? Robert Bowie, this sweaty guy. Yeah, he's the head of a clinical research at the National Center for Immunization Research and Surveillance. Now, this sweaty guy, I've been watching for years, especially on morning breakfast shows. He likes to get up there with Koshy, and they call him a doctor. And he likes to get up there and push this mandatory vaccination agenda. And so I've been watching him for years, and you've done a lot of work in your presentation here about him. Tell us about this Center for Immunization Research and Surveillance. It's the surveillance that gets me there. I want to know about that and this man, because he's a big pusher of vaccines. But, you know, for the general public who are sitting at home in the morning and they're watching Koshy on Sunrise, who knows nothing about vaccine science, who knows nothing about health, pushing this onto our children, and you see this professor or whatever he is, Robin Bowie, up there, with his glasses on and his tie, and he's pushing this vaccination policy onto children, you know, parents would think, oh, well, you know, this guy knows what he's talking about, you know, I believe him, blah, blah, blah. This is some pretty dubious material you've put up on this man, and so I'm very interested in this.
Well, when he's with Koshy, does he disclose the fact that he's associated with the Immunisation Coalition, that he's a director of the Immunisation Coalition? And that is an organisation which is funded by vaccine manufacturers, you know, GlaxoSmithKline and Pfizer. Is that disclosed? This is a problem, that there's a lack of disclosure of conflicts of interest. People don't realise the conflicts of interest these people have. Now, when he is on Koshy or wherever he is, he should be disclosing that. And when he's at the National Centre for Immunisation Research and Surveillance, he's the head of clinical research there. He's working on trials that are associated with industry. And I've written to the director of that organisation recently, that there's a new director, that's Christine McCartney. I wrote to her asking her, you know, what are the trials and who's funding them? I've had no response. This is a problem. You know, as a citizen, you're writing to these organisations and they will just ignore citizens. They will not disclose what's going on. And that organisation is funded by government, and it's also obviously working on industry-funded trials. And we need transparency. This is what is necessary, transparency and accountability. We need to know what's going on. And that's what I've been working on. I mean, people just didn't know all this stuff. And I've just
That's
working
right.
on people like Judy Weilerman. She has been working on this for years, mm-hmm. and you know how she has been attacked. You know, her thesis was on vaccination policy. That's what it was about. But people attacked her as if, oh, how dare she speak? She's not a scientist. Her thesis was a social sciences thesis, and it's on policy. This is what it's about. But the Murdoch press got stuck into her, tried to stop her getting her PhD. It is really scary what is going on in Australia with trying to shut down people talking about this. This is a liberal democracy. We must be allowed to talk about these things. And the blatant censorship that is going on, it's breathtaking. And that people do it. You know, you're thinking, if you can't argue, if you just shut people down, like, that is, it's just a terrible, terrible situation.
It isn't. Just to create a little side note here, you sent me an email today from the Sydney Morning Herald. Greg Hunt is calling it false and reckless. Health Minister slams anti-vaccination documentary filmmaker. So this is the film Sacrificial Virgins. Yes. It's going to be screening around Australia. And, of course, Greg has labelled it dangerous and all of this. And Greg always comes out with the same same slogans. He says the science is settled, basically, and the medical experts' advice is absolute. Vaccinations save lives and protect everybody. That's what Greg Hunt always says. He's got the same mantra. But
that's
anything,
politicians for you, isn't it?
Yeah,
politicians just
vaccine
come out
saves
with
lives.
Stuff.
The science
just
is settled.
Just come out and say the science is settled.
It's unbelievable.
Science is never settled on anything. And HPV vaccination is still experimental. They will say there is so much evidence about how successful this vaccine is. We will not know what the results of HPV vaccination are for years. It's going to take years to know if that vaccine has prevented cancer. This is a big experiment that's happening now, and that's what the public doesn't realise. Another thing the public doesn't realise is all this information that's coming out saying how wonderful it is and how successful it is again buried in conflicts of interest. The people who are doing these studies, who are doing these reviews, were involved in HPV vaccination from when it was set up. You know, this is what the public doesn't realise. We have got no real independent and objective review of the material supporting HPV vaccination. Even Cochrane, who was supposed to be the people we'd look to evaluate these systematic reviews, even they can't be trusted now. You know, they've come out with a review recently that gave the glowing report on HPV vaccination, and yet most of the studies were industry funded. You know, this whole area has to be cracked wide open. We need a whole spotlight being shone on this, because it's all very murky. You know, we need a spotlight shone on the academics, on the vaccine industry, on the journals, on the way the politicians are being manipulated, the whole thing, because basically the community is being exploited by the overuse of vaccine products, and we need an examination. And what I'm pushing for is a whole review of that schedule. We've got to have a total look at that that schedule because it has just become bloated. It's there's far too many vaccines on there, and we need to be able to ask questions about it. We need a moratorium that there are no more vaccines added to that schedule, and that we get have a look at what's currently on there, particularly things like the diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis shot, which is just ridiculous at how many vaccines have been given now.
Yeah, it's insane. And according to Mr. Hunt, vaccinations save lives and they protect the community. But we do see in this article, Immigration Minister Peter Dutton would not rule out denying entry to British filmmaker Joan Shenton when she tries to fly in for the screening. So we have the possible banning of another person coming into Australia about vaccines.
Joan Shenton.
It's insane.
He has trying to give a voice to people who have suffered after the HPV vaccines. They're just trying to bury these people. There are people all around the world, the reports are coming out all around the world of people who have suffered after that vaccine.
That's
right. Particularly after three doses, and I've already raised about how there's some question marks.
It's overwhelming.
The ethics of that. Mm-hmm. And Joan is trying to give these people a voice. You know, there are people in Australia in the same boat, and they're just being repressed and shut up. She's just trying to give them a voice. It's not an anti-vaccine documentary. It's just we're talking about this particular HPV vaccine, which I do not support at all. I've got to say, I do not support the HPV vaccine. It should not have been put on the schedule. It was totally wrong that was put on the schedule. And now we've got these people who are suffering after it, and they just want them to be shut up. You know, for her to catch, she's coming over here with this with documentary, and for them to threaten now that they might ban her like they've banned other people. What is going on here? You know, we seem to be in some sort of totalitarian society now that we can't have different points of view, or we can't talk about
That's
things,
right.
That we've got this threat of being shut up all the time. That conference that I presented at in Sydney, they couldn't actually release where that conference was being held until a couple of hours beforehand because people would have ganged up to try and shut it down. I mean, and you've seen my presentation, you've probably seen the other people's presentations. We were completely normal people just talking rationally, and they wanted to stop that. It is so scary what is going on.
It is. You can see in that Sydney Morning Herald article the comments. It's all trolls. These newspapers seem to have a troll army that follow along, and I guess they create multiple social media profiles, you know, and just comment after comment and push anybody off.
Who it is very interesting. It is very coordinated, isn't it?
It is.
And
it's
I think
perfectly
that is something
done. It's a perfect
that
storm.
Has got to be investigated. Mm-hmm. And who is doing this? Who is organising this? And I've seen it happen on The Conversation, and that's something we really need to look into. Who is doing this? It's a coordinated effort.
That's right.
It's a bad situation because there are people on there who are trying to make genuine comments, and we have these organized gangs of people who are on there. Their only goal is to shut it up. That's what they want to do. That is not right. That should not be allowed to happen.
That's right. And you know, I chat quite a bit to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and she was she pulled out of a while ago of coming to Australia, and that was just unbelievable what happened. But she personally told me that we don't know the half of what happened, how bad it was, and the threats against her were so serious that the FBI were called in over in the United States. What they were threatening to do to her if she came here. And evidently, the federal police here didn't follow up on anything. So these were serious threats to her life. We've had, when Vax came to some of these cinemas that were going to show the film, open threats to the public and everything, and nothing has been done. I mean, these are... With our counter sort of terrorism laws and these terrorism laws that have been brought into Australia since 9/11 would scare the hell out of most Australians if they knew what they were. I mean, there's so many of them. You know, we really are entering a draconian police state in this country. And, you know, with things being so scary at the moment, with the government pushing this whole terrorism line and everything, and you think that these these trolls, whoever they are online, are threatening people who are going to come here and just simply talk to the public about vaccinations. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And you have to ask, with any common sense, what are they hiding? Because if vaccines are safe and effective and good for the public, like and essential for a healthy society, like Mr. Minister Greg Hunt says, then why not let these people in and talk? And why can't we see documentaries? Why can't we discuss vaccines? Why are they shutting everything down so viciously? Anyone would have to ask that simple question. They seem hell-bent on silencing anybody. Even David Wolfe, who was here not long ago doing Australian tour, they were so paranoid that he was going to even talk about vaccines, they shut down one of his events that was supposed to take place in Sydney. It was a raw cacao dance party, you know, and they were following him everywhere, and they were so threatened about him talking about vaccines to the public. They really just wanted to get him out. And we know what happened to Polly Tommy. Very creepy, seizing passports, Kurt Hakenlively, all this kind of stuff, just banning people from coming into Australia, from talking. This is really unbelievable, and it's all adding up to a criminal conspiracy for me, to be honest, you know?
Well, Australia is definitely looking like a police state on this, you know. I think Australia is now the most aggressive vaccinated country in the world, even more than the US.
Yes,
if there is something really sinister going on here, and we really need to, you know, start examining it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and I think the world's looking in as well. They really are. They're watching us, because I think what happens here depends. It really, people are watching here because they think it's so important what we do. And how we handle this, and we can only just keep moving forward and keep walking, walking through and walking together. And I think we've had incredible, we've made incredible change. And I think this health freedom movement is growing by the day. And I think we're getting so many people on board, and we're really doing fantastic work here, as well as you, and. I've put your recent article up here that we turned in an article, and this was Conflicts of Interest in Vaccination Policy and the No Jab, No Pay Law, an open email to Malcolm Turnbull, Prime Minister of Australia. We'll just finish on this now, this latest letter that you've done to the Prime Minister. I don't think you'll get a reply, but how did that come about, writing to Malcolm Turnbull about this? You've basically put in everything we've talked about tonight into a letter to him about this unbelievable conflict of interest in regards to this vaccination push, especially by Rupert Murdoch's News Corp media.
Well, before I sent that email to Malcolm Turnbull, I've sent an email to
Bill
Rupert
Gates.
Murdoch
and oh,
Rupert Murdoch
yeah, that's
and
right.
Malcolm Murdoch, mm-hmm. because it seems to me now that these are the people who are running our vaccination policy.
That's right.
It's not that the government, the politicians seem to be merely, you know, responding to this Murdoch press. So I wrote to Rupert Murdoch and Lachlan Murdoch. I've laid out a few things in there about conflicts of interest and about the fact that they have had this aggressive campaign, but they did not disclose their conflict of interest, as in the Murdoch Children's Research Institute and the industry-funded projects that are happening in that institute. And that's an institute that one of the founders was Rupert Murdoch's mother, Elizabeth Murdoch. Sarah Murdoch, Lachlan Murdoch's wife, is a director and an ambassador for the Murdoch Children's Research Institute. So you can see this little organisation all nicely, neatly together. It's getting support from News Corp and Foxtel. And this is something the public doesn't even know about, you know. So I wrote to them and laid out a few things, and then I have forwarded to Malcolm Turnbull and saying, it looks like our no jab, no pay law, the Australian government's no jab, no pay law, seems to have been influenced by the Murdoch Media Group. And we didn't know about this conflict of interest that they have. And I'm just laying it out there. It's an open email to Malcolm Turnbull. I mean, you know, he has no interest in the citizens or responding to them as far as, you know, in my experience. But it's an open email. It's there. It's on the record. Other people can see it. They can judge for themselves what I'm saying in there. And basically it gets back to, we need a wholesale review of vaccination policy because it is absolutely loaded down with conflicts of interest, and we are not getting a genuine policy there. We need to know that that we're getting a safe policy, but we're getting too many vaccines now. That's my perspective on this thing, that there is just simply too many vaccines and there's no consultation with the community. We have got so much fear-mongering about disease, but meningococcal B, is it justifiable to do the fear-mongering that has been done about that disease, which is so rare? And what worries me is, if they do put in that vaccine, what will happen to natural immunity? At the moment, invasive meningococcal B is not a problem for the most people. But if they start messing with it, what are we going to see in the future? Particularly when we see what's happened with pertussis vaccination, with people now getting children getting six doses and people getting vaccinated throughout life. This is what we've got to look at. We've got to look at that with new vaccines coming through about what could be happening in the future, particularly when they start messing with something that is not a major problem, that is really rare. And that's what we've got to get people talking about that. That's what we've got to get going out there.
That's right. Yes. You could just spend days on this. I was going through my stuff. Even Mia Friedman of the Mamma Mia Network, Mia Friedman, she's a mad vaccination pusher, and she does ads for GlaxoSmithKline pushing Panadol and these kinds of products.
That's called conflicts of interest.
But she's doing advertisements, and she's got these advertisements on TV, save the date to vaccinate. We've done videos for YouTube and whole articles on her as well that she didn't like, but that's.
And
tough.
I think she gets exposure on the Murdoch media as well, doesn't she?
Oh, massive exposure! They all protect each other, and also you'll get her on The Project and these shows. They're all tied in together.
Yeah, so it's a network, isn't it?
It's a network. It's a spider's web, yeah, and they're all tied in, and you just get this GlaxoSmithKline popping up all the time. We had incredible success in exposing Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull and Lucy in this mad push. I put up an original article on the no jab and Malcolm Turnbull and his ties to the pharmaceutical industry and Pfizer and Lucy Turnbull. Prima Biomed, which she quietly stepped down from not long ago, got out of there.
Yes.
And I think that was these articles, because these articles were just massive. I had like 60,000 or 70,000 people a day on my side for those articles that got picked up by The Mind Unleashed, David Icke, Natural News. I think InfoWars in the US picked it up. It just went absolutely everywhere. You know, Malcolm Turnbull's shares in cigarette and tobacco and all of this, you know. And that was such, if you type in Malcolm Turnbull vaccinations into Google, you get all these articles that just ghosts him everywhere. And it exposed that massive conflict of interest with the Turnbulls, him and his wife. It's unbelievable. And we know that, Rupert Murdoch and Lachlan, is it Lachlan Murdoch?
Yes.
His son sat on the board of GlaxoSmithKline.
It was Rupert. It was James Murdoch.
James Murdoch. James Murdoch was on the board of GlaxoSmithKline. So that GlaxoSmithKline is huge, and it just keeps popping up every...
Yeah, GlaxoSmithKline is huge, yes. And very, very, very influential.
Everywhere you look, it just keeps popping up. So absolutely incredible. And I'll just mention this before we plug out tonight. The global this is from your presentation. Global vaccine market expected to exceed US $77.5 billion by 2024. So in 2002, the global vaccine market was US $55.7 billion. From 2002 to 2004, the global vaccine market is predicted to exceed US $77.5 billion.
Yeah, 2024.
That is 2024, more than 13-fold increase. So we can see why all these people are pushing this onto our poor children, because you're talking about billions of dollars here. So it's unbelievable. The public needs to stand up here and do something before Elizabeth we lose everything. It's a frightening situation, but I think we need to get our backs up and we need to stand together and fix this.
Think of the overuse of antibiotics. That's accepted now. We know about overuse of opioids, overuse of antidepressants. That is being recognised. Well, think about it, people. Overuse of vaccine products. This is what we have got to raise as being the next major, major issue. That we've got to get the politicians accepting that this is a problem.
That's right. And as I said, with the podcast tonight, I'll put up all your relevant links so people can read that. And you also have a website called Overvaccination, challenging Big Pharma's lucrative over-vaccination of people and animals. Animals are very fascinating as well. I've noticed that myself. I have healthy dogs and I don't give them vaccines, especially boosters. On pets, and so very lots of incredible information for people to look at here and go on. What's next for you as you continue forward? What are you looking at doing? Just continuing this line?
Just continue investigating. It's like an investigation in progress.
Gee, you're going down a rabbit hole, man.
And it just seemed to be quite astonishing, really, what is going on.
It never ends.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely. So yeah, fantastic work. Honestly, what you're doing in my books is unbelievable. It is so vitally important because you're that person that's putting these pieces together that fits everything that we're all doing, you know. I think that all of us in this health freedom community, we're all doing something, you know, and it's all fitting together, and it's putting the puzzle together, and we need this so much. We really need to expose this for what it is. It's really terrible what's going on, and so unfair. And it's and I spoke to Alan about this, you know, many times, how it's dividing communities, and it's such discrimination, and it's just terrible what's happened to Australian families for absolutely no reason, and what they've got away with, you know. And we hope to expose them and keep moving forward. And stay positive, because everything they do is fear-based. It's fear-based mind control. And we need to stay positive and loving and caring and stick together as a community and work together and see if we can make a change here, because our children's futures depend on this very much so. So fantastic work on your end. You're an incredible woman. And I applaud you so much. You're doing an amazing job. Please keep going. We really need a person like you in this country. Absolutely. And so great work. Thank you very much for chatting with me.
I be kind. Thank you.
Absolutely. And we'll continue to do some podcasts here and there in the future. I'll check in with you and keep in contact. You're on Facebook, Elizabeth Hart, Elizabeth Hart. Yeah, you're on Facebook, very active over there as well, and putting up lots of great articles and things, so people can find you on Facebook, and I'll put your Facebook link up as well. Thanks for chatting with me tonight, and we'll catch up again soon as all this unfolds.
Okay, thanks, Adam.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.